Thank you very much, Pastor Fiani. Good morning, everyone. We are so glad to be here again for another Sunday morning service as we come to worship, praise, and adore our Savior. Today being the third Sunday of the month, and how good it is for us to give God thanks because He is with us from the start of the year until now. And we want to know that every time we come together, it is as a result of His goodness towards us. So we want to just give Him praise and give Him glory because He deserves to be worshipped. Thank you very much for being here this morning. Thank you for opening your living room or your bedroom or wherever you happen to find yourself this morning to be a part of this service. Bless you. And we are so grateful. The passage of scripture that was read to us by Sister Henry is a passage that is being used on different platforms today, I believe, in different services, in different churches. I believe that this passage is being used, and we would like to take a look at it too, maybe not so much from the traditional standpoint, but to see if there is any relevancy to it in regards to our present time and how we can really use this to make decision for ourselves as we worship the Lord as believers. It is so important that we follow the Lord in the teaching of His word. And for that reason, I'm hoping that you have your Bibles with you so that we will look at a few scriptures here as we contemplate what God has actually said in the past, in this passage of scripture, and how we can apply it to ourselves today. I'm going to mainly concentrate on verse 20 from the passage that was read. There are other verses that are going to come into play, but I just want to spend a little time here on verse 20. And of course, we are mindful that we're going to have breaking of bread service later on. I'll read verse 20 to you again. It says, that is St. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Lord bless the reading of His holy word to our hearts. There are three takeaways from this passage that we would like to look on under the topic, when facing a challenge, leave space for the Lord. When facing a challenge, leave room for the Lord. Let that be a backdrop in our thinking today as we look on God's word. When facing a challenge, leave room or space for the Lord. So the first thought that we are going to look on from this passage is the thought of discerning the voice of God. In discerning the voice of God. Remember what we are concentrating on here is when we are faced with a challenge, leave space for the Lord. So the first thought is discerning the voice of God. We are told in verse 20, that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, this is going to be the first time of four times between chapter 1 and chapter 2 of St. Matthew that the Lord is going to talk to Joseph in a dream. This is the first of four times that the Lord will talk to Joseph in a dream. And the fact that this is the first time, that is what makes it challenging. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. If you happen to listen to the news, you will discover many times that there are people who have committed violent crimes, murder in some cases, and when they are caught, they will tell the officer, or they will tell somebody, that the reason why they committed such a crime is because they heard voice in their head, or in some cases, voices in their head. And they follow that voice and committed the crime that they are not charged for. It is in the news quite often. Whatever it is that caused those voices to be there, that misled these people, we don't know. But it is a reality as they describe what happened to them that caused this thing, caused them to do this crime. Here is Joseph in a state where we are not told whether or not this is the first time that an angel is going to appear to him. Maybe as a man of God, he could have had an encounter in the past, but certainly it is not recorded here. And he is now in a position to discern whether or not what was being said to him is from God or from another source. And this is a tremendous challenge, even for us today. There are times when we have to make a decision, and that decision is based upon certain principles. And we have to wait so as to arrive at the right place. And one of the levers that we use is the Word of God to determine whether or not this decision is correct, to see what God is saying in His Word here. Because I would like to remind all of us that we cannot tie God's hand and tell Him that you will have to operate this way or that way. God is open to do whatever He please at any time. And in our moment of challenge, we need to arrive at the right decision, as in the case of Joseph here. So the Lord may speak to us in that moment through dream. The Lord may speak to us through a friend. The Lord may speak to us through a current event or a news that we might watch on the television, so as to give a word in the situation that we face, so that we might make the right decisions. And here we find, as far as the word is concerned, the Lord allow an angel to appear before His servant with a message. At a very crucial moment, in his life, and not only in his life, but in Mary's life too. The songwriter declared, I need a word from you. And how often we too need a word from the Lord. And he was in a place where he was able to discern that this angel is of God. The word tells us in St. John chapter 10 that my sheep knows my voice and they follow. A stranger voice, they will not follow because they know not the stranger. So Joseph's relationship, as much as the Bible has not detailed it before us right now, but Joseph's relationship with the Lord was a very closely knitted one, to the extent that he was able to discern that this angel was from God and not from another source. At this crucial moment, with a crucial message. And that is the point one that we are three that we're going to look at. The second thought that we're going to look at as we take away from this passage is Christian must not rush in making decisions. Christian must not rush in making decisions. As we see here in verse 20 again, it says, but while he thought on these things, while he thought on these things, sometime we have to sleep on it. A decision to be made, a challenge that confronts us. And instead of rushing in and making a decision that we regret later on, it is best as Christians that we think on it. We can even sleep on it. Go to our bed with it. Give the Lord room to work, as the theme said here. When faced with a challenge, leave space for the Lord. Leave an opening. Let us leave an opening for the Lord to introduce something that will influence the decision making while he thought on it, while he tossed it around in his mind, the pregnancy of Mary, while he thought about what is happening there. It is after that that the Lord came into the discussion and the thought and introduce the angel with a message. Let us not rush into a decision making without giving it some thought. And I might even add here that sometimes it might be worthwhile to share this thought, to share this problem with a friend or a family member, because in doing so, it could be that that is a way in which you are inviting, in which we are inviting the Lord to come up with a message that will influence the right decision. Let us not rush in making a decision, but let us think about it. When we are confronted with a challenge, let us think about it. And as I've said before, you might even want to sleep on it, meaning you are giving yourself more time to see how the best can come out of this situation here. What is it? What is it here? That was the problem. The problem is Mary was pregnant after they were engaged. Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married. And in this case, it is what is called a contra. The parents of both parties were part of the whole decision making. So Mary and Joseph had already entered into what is called a contra for them to get married at a later date. But while they waited for the second event to take place, meaning the marriage supper to take place, something happened in the relationship. Something surprisingly happened in the relationship. And it caused Joseph to start to think, and it led to what we have here before us in verse 20, while he thought on these things. Because we need to remember that Joseph and Mary could not, on the principle of the engagement, could not enter into sexual relationship. They could communicate, but they could not enter into sexual relationship. And the only thing that could cause them to break off, in fact, they are really more than one. One of them could die. But the other thing on the books that could cause a separation here is adultery. That is the one thing that could cause the contract to be broken. And Joseph here, knowing in himself that he has never gone close in that way to Mary, and to discover that she is now pregnant, he is faced with a dilemma. And while he thinks about these things, because there are a number of things crosses his mind at this point. One, his own pride is crushed. Joseph's own pride is crushed. Because he knows, without a doubt, that he's not the father of the child that Mary is now carrying. And from a man's standpoint, it hurts. And so he ponder, he think about these things. The second thing we see here is the public, John Public, the unforgiving John Public. When they discover that Mary is pregnant and it is not Joseph's child, John Public is going to have a field day, and they are going to be mocked. They are going to be ridiculed, and all the rest of trimmings that goes along with that. It was a serious time for the brother. And so he had to think about these things. Apart from that, and maybe the most serious of all of them is what is on the books. What is on the books? If Mary should be unfaithful in the relationship before the official wedding ceremony, what is on the books to be carried out as a punishment for such act? But one of the things that I would like us to remember here is that there is nowhere in this passage that was read where it said that Joseph hated Mary for what had happened to her. Nowhere did it say that Joseph did stop speaking to her. Nowhere did it say that Joseph want to break off the relationship because he was pressured by anybody else. The decision for him to do it came from himself based on what had happened. In this act, we discover that Joseph still loved Mary. But he is pondering on these things as he has received a blow which is devastating. And when he thinks about what is on the books as punishment for what she did or didn't do, it makes it even more terrifying for Joseph. Let's look and see what is on the books for somebody who is engaged to another in the case of Mary and has violated that engagement. Deuteronomy chapter 22, reading from verse 23 to verse 24. Listen to what it says here. And this applied specifically to Mary. If a damsel, that is Mary, that is a virgin, that is Mary, be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both unto the gate of the city, and they shall stone them with stone that they die. The damsel, because she cared not being in the city, and the man because he had humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. This is what is on the books that is supposed to be done to the party that creates a problem in the engagement between two persons. Mary and the man should be brought out in front of the city and in the face of all the community be stoned to death because of this act. That is what is on the books, and that is one of the things that Joseph is here thinking about. How should I deal with this? And he questioned himself, should I put her away privately? In other words, should I go back to the parents? And we have a discussion in it and said, we will have to cancel the arrangement based on the disloyal behavior of Mary and have it as a hush so that nobody knew. That's the thinking here. Because he still loved her so much. But by way of principle, he could not continue with the relationship because she's now pregnant and he is confident that it is not his child. I don't know how many families face with this situation. I don't know how many families have experienced this sort of setting. But I tell you, it can be quite difficult for both parties. It is there that when we leave room for the Lord, when challenges come in the family, when challenges come in our life, Let us think rational. Let us leave space that the Lord get a voice in. Get a chance to say something. Because it has never happened before. What has happened here has never happened before. Abraham and Sarah. Sarah reached a place where she could not bear children anymore because of her age. Yet God said she was going to bear a child. But Sarah had her husband, Abraham. And Abraham at the age of 100. When Isaac was born, Sarah was at the age of 90 when Isaac was born. But both of them, God returned to both of them the youthfulness so that they could produce. They were husband and wife. Elizabeth and Zachariah passed the time of childbearing, as the word describes it. But God miraculously return unto both of them that which was necessary for them, for Elizabeth to become pregnant with John. It was a miracle. In Abram's case, it's a miracle. But they were man and wife. They were husband and wife. In this case, Mary and Joseph had never been together sexually. And that's why it's so crushing as far as Joseph is concerned. It has never happened before. So when the angel spoke to him, and he listened to what the angel had to say, it is because he knew God for himself. And he is convinced that this message that came to him through the angel was from God, that he believed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He believed the angel. Artificial insemination has never taken place in the lives of no one. Nowadays, it might be considered common assault. But there was no technology available then where the sperm could be inserted in the woman's uterus and for her to become pregnant. That technology was not yet on the books. It only came in recently. Joseph could not even think along that line because it was not there. But a message from the angel said to Joseph, look, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is what? Conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the brother believed it. The brother believed what the angel said. Listen to what the angel said to Mary when he first introduced this thought to Mary. In St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, listen to the discourse between Mary and the angel. And I have no doubt that is the same angel that appears to Joseph. Say in Luke chapter 1 verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Mary has never engaged in sexual intercourse in her entire life. Yet the angel said, you are going to be with child. And the angel answered and said unto her, And this is how we are talking about being discerning the voice of God. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come up on thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah! Angel, from the very outset, Mary was told how her pregnancy was going to come out. Mary was told that it was going to be a miracle. Mary was told that the entire Trinity, the entire Godhead is going to involve in this pregnancy. Because God, by a miraculous way, is going to insert a seed in her womb. And that seed is going to develop into a child. And that child's name shall be called Jesus. Independent of any man. That is what Joseph found difficult at first. Until when the angel explained the whole process to him. Then he believed God and believed that God has the ability to do just about anything, even in getting Mary pregnant. And both of them, Joseph and Mary, has never been together. I'd like to say to the church that we believe in the old-fashioned engaging and getting married later on. We believe in that. But we also believe that there is a principle involved. And that principle is that God, it is not God's wish that the two parties should be engaged in sexual activity until when that marriage is taking place. And that is what happened here. There's a danger in waiting. There's a danger while you are waiting. That temptation might create a problem. Temptation might create a problem and one of two parties, while they are waiting on the wedding day to finalize the engagement, one or the other party, it is possible for them to fall into sin. These are realities. These are current events. But may I say to the church this morning that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he has established is his principle and a principle of which he stands by. Joseph knew not Mary sexually. And here she becomes pregnant. And all these different thoughts start running through his mind who it is that could have gotten her pregnant. Until when? Because room was left for the Lord in his thinking pattern. The Lord introduced himself and showed him in complete detail what is happening to Mary. And it is not because Mary was unfaithful, but because Mary was faithful. It is the act of God in finding a body. Sacrifice he would not, but a body has he prepared for me. Finding through which he could introduce his son into the world physically. Joseph, having raised from the dream, according to the word we have read, he decided that he is going to take on Mary, his wife, and give her all the support and all the comfort and all the interest that bears in the relationship, because God has spoken to him in a time of his dilemma, and a solution was found because he believed God. Now, the interesting thought here is that Joseph could not be the father of Mary, of Jesus, because God is looking for a being to be able to take away the sins of the world. And coming through Joseph's line would be a contaminated blood, because Joseph's line, Joseph's blood, was contaminated with sin. Every human being since Adam's blood is tainted with sin. And therefore, Joseph, as much as he was a righteous man before God, his blood was marred with that sin from Adam. And God had to find a way to introduce Jesus, who had not the blood type of Joseph, but a blood which was pure, a blood which comes from the line of God into the body of Jesus, spotless, pure, undefiled. But Jesus to be born. And yes, Joseph quickly agreed that he would be called the father, the earthly father of Jesus. But because the angel spoke to him and given complete detail as to how this is going to be. And I want to say to the church today, church, I'm asking all of us to see if we can learn something from all of this. That the waiting period between engagement and the marriage supper can cause pain at times. And so that brings me to the final thought. The danger in waiting. That's the final thought. The danger in waiting, as we contemplate under the topic, when facing a challenge, leave space for the Lord. The danger in waiting. The danger in Joseph and Mary waiting for the final wedding day is that it was possible for either of them to fall into sin. Danger in waiting. And so we, the apostle Paul looked on this and he saw something here. He saw something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's go there for our final thought here. The danger in waiting between engagement and the church ceremony. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 2-4. Let me read it to us. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have exposed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety through infertility, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. That is the writing of the Apostle Paul. The apostle is saying to the Corinthian church, while you are waiting, while you are in waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus, and so are we this morning, while we are all here waiting for the second coming, he has already engaged to the church, himself to the church. The church is engaged to the Lord Jesus. And what we are waiting for now is the marriage ceremony to take place. But while we are in this state of waiting, there lies the danger in falling into sin as a church. And when I say a church, I'm not speaking now about the Apostolic Church in Mani. I'm speaking about the church, the body of Christ worldwide. The period of waiting for the final marriage ceremony. Like how Joseph and Mary were waiting for the marriage ceremony to take place, and hence this happened. While the apostle is saying, while we are waiting for the return of our Lord, we need to be careful that we do not fall into temptation. Because he is making sure that we, the church, is being presented before God as chaste virgin. What chaste virgin mean? Pure, undefiled, spotless. That is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the brethren over there in Corinthians. While you are waiting, it is important that you safeguard yourself from being contaminated with the world, so that you can be presented before God as a chaste virgin, pure and undefiled. And he made mention of some of the things that they should guard themselves against. What are some of those things? It is stated here in verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, hallelujah, if another source comes in and preach another Jesus, which in the Old Testament, having a relationship with another god, such as idol, it is considered spiritual adultery. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying, guard yourself from spiritual adultery. Verse 4 again. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. And I think I heard this before. Galatians tells us that if angels, that the Apostle Paul declared that if angels from heaven came and preached to us another gospel, we are to let him be accursed. That was stated in Galatians. No, he comes back here and repeat almost word for word the same thing. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted. Accept. Ye might well be with him. The apostle is warning the church that while we wait, the period between engaging to be married and the actual marriage supper can be quite a challenging period, like what we're experiencing now as a church and a whole. While we wait for the second coming of our Lord, let us guard ourselves. Let us prepare ourselves as chaste virgins, waiting for the second appearance of our Lord Jesus, who will take us to himself, as Ephesians tells us here, as Ephesians make it clear to us, Ephesians chapter 5. This is what it says here, verse 27, that he might present it to himself, talking about the church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Paul writing to the Ephesians here in Ephesians 5:27, that the church must prepare to meet the Lord spotless, without blemish, and holy. Just like old Mary and Joseph enter into that time of engagement, and Joseph was waiting for the marriage supper when Mary would be spotless, blameless, and holy, entering into the marriage ceremony. This is how the Lord wants the church to be ready for that particular day. And listen to what John said in Revelation, as Jesus anticipates the marriage ceremony with the church. Verse 7, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife has made herself ready. The wife, meaning the church. The time is coming when the church is going to enter finally into the marriage supper with the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. We are now engaged. The church is now engaged to the Lord. And we are in that waiting period, waiting for the final marriage supper. My brother, my sister, I am saying to all of us today, let us treat this period as holy before God, as he has now engaged us, Jesus. And he went away according to St. John chapter 14. He went away to prepare a place for us, a home for us to live together in. That where he is, there shall we be also. We are waiting for the marriage supper of our Lord. And Paul just informed us that his intention as a servant of God is to prepare a people as a chaste virgin, a people who are undefiled, a people who are without spot, ready to meet the groom when he arrives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That passage that we have read is relevant to our situation now. But what we need to do is we need to discern the voice that speaks to us in our time of challenge. What we need to do is we need to stop and we need to think about the situation that confronts us and leave room for the Lord to work. And the last thing is that while we are waiting between engagement and the final marriage, let us prepare ourselves and guard ourselves from the attack and the influence of the enemy. Jesus came through the womb of Mary, but Jesus was the spotless Son of God. John later on declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." We are told here that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sin. We are glad today to have our Emmanuel with us. God with us. As a result of Mary making herself available for the Lord to use her and to bring forth Jesus, our Savior, into this world, which in the act of doing so, the entire Godhead was in operation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was involved or engaged in seeing this come to pass. God went through all of that. God went through all of that. Something that has never happened in the course of history before. To have a virgin pregnant, and she has never seen a man. Artificial insemination, as I said, just came on the scene. Not too long ago. But that was not it in this case. It was the Lord himself that planted that seed in Mary's uterus. That undefiled seed that bring about the person of Jesus. And it was explained to Joseph. And Joseph believed the angel. And he took Mary as his wife. I don't know. You are here this morning and you have heard this Christmas story over and over and over again. But have you actually stopped to think about what God has done so as to give you a chance? So as to give me a chance? The initial embarrassment that Joseph had when he first learned, without getting the detail, somebody had experienced heartache. Somebody had experienced grief until God revealed it to him. What God was doing, his eternal purpose. And you and I have this piece of information before us. God has allowed to happen this way. To you who have not yet taken full opportunity of this passage by making that most important decision. I don't know if this morning, now that you have heard, something happens in your mind. That God, it takes the entire Godhead to bring about this for you, that you might be saved. heard it. You have read it. You are not thinking about it like Joseph, who thought about what he experienced. I believe it is time for you to make that decision. To accept Jesus, the gift that God has given, as your own personal Savior.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we worship you.
Hallelujah.
And we glorify you.
Glory, glory to God.
What a tense moment it must have been in the life of these two young people. When the vision was not properly explained to both parties, until when you introduced the angel with that message that confirms what Mary was already told, that it is of you. What joy that came over your servant Joseph when he discovered he didn't do anything wrong. And when he further discovered that Mary was not unfaithful, but Mary was faithful. Hallelujah! What joy must have filled his heart when you explained to him that this is the route you have chosen to take to bring humanity back in line with you. God, this morning, I look to you in this prayer for somebody who is here in this service. The mercy that you have shown, for God so loved the world. The mercy that you have shown towards us in bringing about this event so that we can be considered the redeemed of the Lord. I pray for that person. I pray for that person now who thought about it or who's thinking about it, that God, you will show mercy and you will cause that person or those persons to surrender their lives to you, Lord. In this December month, the month when all attention is focused on the birth of Jesus, let Jesus birth in their heart, I pray this day. Let a fresh start take place in the heart of the lives of those who are listening, who are outside of you, so that they will discover that this birth is for me. For me to have a new direction and a new purpose in life. God, I worship you this day. And I look forward that the blessed Holy Spirit will work on the heart of this your people to bring about a change. In Jesus' name. Amen.